Good evening. I want to start off by saying that I appreciate the presence of each and every one of you, visitors and regulars alike. The sermon this evening comes from Matthew 19, verses 3 through 9. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They said unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement, and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Many in the world today marry, divorce, remarry, without considering God's law concerning those things. According to worldpopulationreview.com, in the United States, between 35% and 50% of first-time marriages end in divorce. To me, that's just mind-boggling. And what's crazy about it is that it increases to around 60% for second-time marriages and 70% for third-time marriages. God's law is simple and clearly revealed and within His Word, the Bible. So tonight, let's look at God's law concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage. First, we're going to take a look at God's law concerning marriage. From the beginning, God's idea of marriage involves one man and one woman, which clearly we see has become so corrupted and backwards in today's world. So turn over, if you will, to Genesis 2, and we're going to look at verses 18 through 24. Genesis 2, 18 through 24. And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help me for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to all the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken from man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be of one flesh. We see that God seen Adam, and that he was alone, and he wasn't on board with the loner ideology. So he thought that it would be necessary that man have a helper and a companion. And people with a helper and companion in their life know the value of that companionship, which many today sadly take for granted. Also, as we read earlier in Matthew 19, 3 through 9, we see that it is between a man and a woman, and it is a very, very important bond. In Romans 7, verses 2 and 3, we also read more about this. Turn over there, if you will, Romans 7, 2 and 3. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, and she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, thou shalt be married to another man. Two married individuals are bonded for life, forever. And that's a very serious thing to think about. Especially young people like myself, going out and finding someone that is there and will be there for the rest of your life may seem as a challenge and intimidating at first. But God's law has it that way for a reason. Moving on, we're going to talk about God's law concerning divorce. Today, men and women divorce for just about any reason you could really think of. it's got so bad that some states allow a no-fault divorce, where not really anyone is accountable for it, and it's just you guys grew apart. But clearly, God would not be on board with that. In the Bible, there is only one scriptural reason for divorce. In Matthew 19:9, we read about it just a moment ago, but also in Matthew 5:32, which says, "But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." The Lord only allows for a divorce if there is fornication involved, and it is only right in the innocent party to do so. And again, the Lord only allows for the innocent party to remarry, which we'll read about here in a moment. To get a divorce for any reason other than fornication is an unscriptural divorce, which results in most of the time an unscriptural marriage. But if there are any other reasons that you can prove with scripture, like I have here, for divorce that God approves of, then please let me know so I can stand corrected before the church and correct myself on that. Lastly, we're going to talk about God's law concerning remarriage. The scriptures only allow for two groups to have the right to remarry. First, the first group is found in Romans 7:2-3, which we read a moment ago. "For the woman which hath an husband is bound by law to her husband as long as he liveth, but if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband." So, the first group is those whose mate is dead. And that goes without saying that it's a natural thing. Death occurs naturally. Everyone dies at some point. So that is, the people who has a companion die, that is the first group of people who can righteously remarry in the sight of God. The second group of people are those who put away a mate for fornication, like we read again in Matthew 19:9. If anyone else remarries, then they live in adultery, which is living in sin, as stated in Colossians 3, verses 5-7. Again, if you know any other reason that God approves of remarriage, please let me know. Since marriage is of God, as stated in Genesis 2:18-24, we as Christians should learn to respect God's law governing this divine institution. God set this bond in motion for a reason. He knew that it would be really hard to live and function by yourself. And anyone who has had a spouse pass or lost a spouse or gained a spouse knows that the feeling of that they bring to your life is very, very important. And they oftentimes make things a lot easier. This being said, it also goes without saying that parents need to begin teaching their children the truth very early on. We see what losing this moral and losing this idea of a lifelong bond has done, especially in America, but all over the world, it has become a very natural thing to get married for no reason, to save a relationship, or because there's a baby on the way. Just anything you can think of, you can get married for it, and anything you can think of, you can get divorced for it. But that doesn't fly with God. And parents also need to do a good job of setting an example for their kids, because you can preach to them all day long, but if you don't live what you're preaching to them, then they're going to start to see it as okay and accepted. God allows for us and our helpmeets to go to heaven to live with Him in eternal life one day when life is over. And that opportunity should not be passed up or brushed off. The way that you go about obtaining that eternal life with your Heavenly Father is stated in the Bible. You need to hear the word, which you have tonight, and most of you many other times. Believe it, repent of your sins, confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, like the eunuch did, and be baptized in water, fully immersed for the remission of your sins, to rise and walk a new creature, and live a faithful life to your Heavenly Father the way that He wants you to. Also, He has a plan for if you've done those things and you've fallen away, you've turned to temptation, or you've just grew apart from the church. He makes a plan for you to come back. You can come before the church if it is a public matter and repent of your ways and turn to be a new creature once again. Or if it's a private matter, you can take it up between you, yourself, and God in prayer. If you be in the audience and you would like to make one of those two very, very positive, life-changing decisions, come forward as we stand and as we sing.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home.
I'd like to read something real quick. Read from 1 Timothy 3:8 through 13. It says, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, and then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and a great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We refresh our memories on this because we've had four men that desire that position as deacons. We'd like to announce those tonight. We'd like to wait through the meeting, and then we will gather after the meeting and appoint those. Brother C.L., which we didn't need to say anything else about Brother C.L. His service has been great. He's expressed an interest. Greg, Derek, and Chris have all four expressed interest in serving as deacons. So give us a week. They'll give us some time. If you have any questions, please go to them first if you can. Or to Ray and I, if you have questions, anything about the qualifications or anything else, we'd be glad to answer your questions as best we can. So, with those things in place, nobody has anything else to add. We'll be dismissed at this time.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all your many blessings that you've given us. Thank you for allowing us to come out here this evening to worship you and to study your word. Please help us take what we've learned and spread it through to others throughout the week. Please help us have a safe trip back to our homes, and please watch over us until the next appointed time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Look what little I've got done.
This? Oh. Mark, where are you? Push the red button. It's still recording.
Stop.